He's the assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames. He's Craig Conroy. Good morning, Craig.
Morning, Boomer. I thought you guys were calling me. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. What's happening with you?
Oh, and you know what? Right now, I'm actually up in New York, and I'm coming back to Calgary on Sunday. So I took a few days off and regrouped a little bit, but, you know, there's still lots going on in Calgary, though.
So, I mean, specifically, is it just kind of keep it getting your house in order? I know that Ortio gets his deal signed. You got to get something done with Boma. You guys are looking at depth defensemen. Is there anything kind of beyond that, or is that just, in a weird way, it feels like that's just kind of taking care of what's from last season, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, we're still goalie coach. We're still looking for goalie coach. So, I mean, there's all those. You're just trying to fine-tune everything and get everything set. The quicker, the better, you know. You know, especially with the goalie coach situation, you'd like to get everybody in here, let them get set up before, you know, in September and ready to go, so they're not, you know, trying to get phone and cable and all that stuff hooked up and finding a place to live. It'd be nice to get them all set up and have them feel comfortable with the city and then ready to start when the season starts.
So, Craig, you've done a lot of work with Jordan Sigalet over the years. Is he going back to Adirondack? Is he still in the mix for the Calgary goalie job? Because I know he was doing some scouting for you guys at that elite camp earlier in the summer where you saw Mason McDonald, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan's still right in the mix. I mean, you know as well as anybody how hard Jordan works, what a great job he does. And, you know, it's just, you know, he wants to make sure, check everybody, you know, do all the interviews, go through everybody, and then get the right guy. But, you know, I believe Jordan's a guy that's very capable to do it. I mean, he's ready, in my opinion, and he's hungry, and he's fresh, and, you know, maybe a lot of people don't know him, but, you know, I think he's real good.
We were bickering just a few minutes ago, which, you know, sometimes happens.
We were talking
about goaltenders. But before we get into any part of that, I know that Jonas Hiller had himself a bit of a medical issue. Can you kind of tell us what was up there and what the update is, if you're privy to it?
Well, he had appendicitis, and, you know, everything's good now. He went to the hospital, took care of everything, but I should be back and ready. It's amazing, though, how many guys, you know, when we went to development camp, you get four or five guys there. I'm like, we get more guys injured in the summer than we do in, you know, during the year. So hopefully we get it all out of our system. But yeah, he's going to be totally fine, ready to go. They said 2 to 3 weeks could start training again, and so it looks like he's going to be fine for September.
You just never know, right?
I know. Well, you never do. I mean, yeah. Poor. You know, I just heard about Corey Sarge the other day, and that's the. No, that's sad. Thank God he's going to be okay, though.
What we were discussing, obviously, is how it seems as though the goaltending scenario is kind of playing out. Jonas Hiller signs a 2-year deal. You have Kari Ramo for one more year. And then yesterday, Joni Ortio signs a 2-year deal. In the first year, a 2-way, and in the second year, a 1-way. Now, you put the whole puzzle together, and it would seem to speak that once this season plays out, it's the opportunity is there to bring in Ortio as a full-time backup. Would you say that's a backup to Jonas Hiller? Would you say that's kind of the master plan without, you know, speaking ill of Kari Ramo?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the one thing is, you know, you look, if Joni keeps progressing the way he has, then he'll be ready for that role. And that's the thing. I mean, I don't think Ramo's going to let anyone just take anything. You know, he really played much, much better down the end of the year. You know, the last 15, 20 games, he was excellent. He got more comfortable. So I'm not putting anything past anyone, but, I mean, I think we feel that these goalies all are going to be competing and battling. So whoever, you know, wins the job. And if, you know, Ortio comes in and he's the backup, then he's the backup. Or maybe in his mind, I know Joni, he thinks he's going to be the starter next year in Calgary. So, I mean, that's his mindset coming in last time I talked to him. So, you know, I think everyone's going to be battling, but that's, you know, we just felt like to get it done, I mean, Joni probably could have gone back to Europe with the year he had last year and just to say, hey, you know what, you're in our future plans and we really like you. It might be one more year in the American League, but, you know, we have a long-term plan for you. I think that's part of it, too.
You need to have that plan, right? Because, and again, for what it's worth, I mean, Ramo is fine. I just look at last year. I think a lot of goalies could have done what he did. He's got 1 year left. Right. I don't think it's hard to envision a spot where at the end of the year you either, you know, bid him adieu, or maybe if he's playing so well you can trade him. But you need to have that succession plan. If we're talking about forwards, you need to have spaces available for them to win a job. Yeah, they still got to win it, but you need to have some kind of availability there. If it's that way for forwards and defense, then why is that not the case for the goaltenders?
Yeah, I mean, we have to. I mean, we have to create competition. I mean, we're the 27th place team. That's not acceptable for us. I mean, we want to move forward and be in there. I mean, we got to have guys that want to come in and take that job. I mean, we need them to come in and say, hey, I'm the guy, and here, you know, I'm going to prove myself. And that's what, if they prove themselves, you know, and if Kari comes in and plays unbelievable and proves himself, and him and Hiller, you know, if it's a 60-40 split, I don't know how it's going to work. You know, once the season starts, you know how Bob is with goaltenders. But, I mean, they're going to be battling. I mean, the one thing, Bob feels very comfortable with Kari and thinks that he made huge strides. So, I mean, that's a huge boost for Kari. Now, you know, you have Hiller coming in, and Orts is pushing. I mean, that's the one thing. I want Orts to come in with that attitude that, hey, I want to take that job. I want to be the goalie in Calgary. So, I mean, all those things combined, if we can just, you know, because after that, then you have Gillies coming, you know, then McDonald's. I mean, so we're pushing. I mean, all these guys, the competition's there for, like you said, forward, defense. Now we got to get the goalies are in the same situation.
Chatting with Craig Conroy, assistant general manager of the Calgary Flames here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Connie, how are things going with Bulma's negotiations? I believe he's the last roster guy from the big club that you've got to get a deal done with.
Yeah, you know, we wanted to get done before the arbitration, and that's the one thing, when you have arbitration rights, it definitely, you know, it pushes those guys a little bit forward. So now that, you know, that Joel's done, now we can kind of just work on, you know, work on Booms. I mean, I think it'll get done. I think it's just a matter of, you know, everybody as a player, I know how it is. We feel like we're worth more as a player, and management says, well, let's see you do it again. And, you know, he had one good year, and we'd like to see him continue. But, I mean, we're going to get this done. It's just, you know, once you start sitting down negotiation, it always takes a little bit longer than you'd like.
It's interesting because you can't just look at his numbers and say, oh, this is what Lance is worth. What he's great at is more the things that don't show up numerically, right?
Well, and that's the thing, and that's where, of course, his agent's coming from. And we on the vice versa, because, you know, next year he'll have Arbright, so you know you're not going to... It's always tough when the player has Arbrights. I mean, I was excited when I have Arbrights. And as a player, that's the first time you have some power, and your agent knows you have some power. So this is the last real year for us to kind of set the market for Lance. And I think that's where our mindset is, hey, you know what, he did have a good year. Have another good year, and you know you're going to get paid. I mean, that's just the way the it's set up in the CBA now. So, yeah, I mean, but with that said, I love Lance. I mean, I the shot blocking, he's unbelievable on the penalty kill. You know, he does so many things for our team. Just his work ethic and his character, it just goes a long ways. And if he can get a little bit more scoring, that's a huge bonus for us. But he can play center or wing, which is nice too.
I guess it was a couple of weeks ago we had Curtis Glencross on the show, and he is in need of a deal at the end of this coming season. From a team perspective, and he's now, because he had talked about maybe once the Colburn deal gets done or Bulma, then you guys can start to kind of kick tires on an extension. Can you, has that begun with Curtis? And I guess what, from a team perspective, I know that Brad Treliving had said, we're really not looking at giving deals beyond a 3-year term. Do you think that that kind of a deal is going to get it done? Or how would you kind of, I guess, characterize where you think the Glencross negotiations may go?
Well, I mean, I think with Glennie, I mean, I love Glennie. I mean, Glennie's, if he stays healthy, he can score 30 goals in this league. I think that's what, you know, for me personally, I feel like comfortable where Glennie is. But I know Brad probably wants to see how Glennie goes and how the season starts and, you know, where we're kind of headed. And then maybe get something, you know, start talking. But I haven't actually spoken to Brad. We've talked about, you know, Lance, Joe, everybody else other than, I wasn't even thinking of Glennie till you mentioned it. But, you know, I think Glennie's going to get his deal. And, you know, the one thing we do talk about, we would like to keep deals shorter. We want to be flexible. We want to know where we stand. And, I mean, that's kind of the reason we lost Camilleri. But I still think, with that said, our deal was pretty... It was right up there with New Jersey's deal. I mean, I don't think, I think a couple more years, but I think if Cammy would have really sat back and thought about it and wanted to come west, then, our deal probably made more sense than the New Jersey deal.
I know you have said it to me. Brad Treliving said it to Rob Kerr on the show yesterday, that one of the things that the team is looking at addressing is some depth defense, whether it be at the AHL level, two-way deals, makes it easier to bring guys up obviously by way of avoiding waivers or what have you. What kind of a player are you looking for? What kind of players? Is it younger guys? Is it older guys with veteran experience? Is it offensive, defense first? What would you say in terms of the defense you're coveting right now?
You know, I think obviously at the NHL level, if we could get a guy that a little bit of offense would be nice. You'd love a right-handed shot. You know, right-handed shot guys are tough to come by on defense. But overall, you know, maybe we're looking for that Mason Raymond of this year. You know, a guy that's, for whatever reason, hasn't gotten signed yet. You know, that, hey, you know what, maybe we take a flyer on this guy. Give him the, you know, that $1 million, $1.2 million deal and then see how that goes. But, you know, it's easy said. A lot of guys are like, whoa, I still don't feel I'm worth way more than that. But as the summer goes along, you know, maybe that deal, they say, I don't have anything. Maybe I got to go prove myself again. So, and obviously we'd like a younger guy just to be able, if he comes in and he plays well and, you know, he can kind of grow with the group. I mean, if you could find a guy 26 and under, that'd be ideal, I think. But, you know, if you can get a good leader, an older guy that can help you now, then that's the way to go. But I think for us as an organization, we want to go in the younger guy right mm-hmm. now.
So, again, you're back now. We know that we've got Penticton coming up in September. When are we looking at rookies and everything? Because here we are, we're, what, less than a week out from the month of August. What's on the horizon here in the next few weeks?
Well, I mean, the next few weeks are a little bit, you know, we're still trying to just shore up everything in-house. We'd like to get, like you said, maybe the depth defenseman, get Lance signed. And then other than that, I'm going to be up in Lake Placid for the World Juniors and then up to Montreal and Sherbrooke for Canada. And I'll see, you know, hopefully see Bennett up there and then Rafikov too up in Montreal and Sherbrooke. So I got a few things going, but and then after that, just come back and get ready for the 11th. I'm going to go to Traverse City while those guys all go to Penticton. So it'll be full on once we get back. The 11th of September, it all starts up again.
What about Rushan Rafikov? Again, kind of a forgotten guy in a way because we've not seen the whites of his eyes. A last round pick a couple years ago, and I know that when you're talking about Russian players, the viewing can be limited, and you wonder what kind of a viewing you get. But I know that the calling card on him at the time was that he was physical and mean and tough and played extremely hard. What have you learned about Rafikov since then? What do you expect to see?
Well, I mean, we saw him at the draft this year. They were down. His team was over in Pennsylvania. They were doing he was training there. So we got to see him. We couldn't get him a visa to come into development camp, you know, or for rookie camp, which was, you know, it's disappointing. But, you know, the one I did get to see him play up in Red Deer, he's physical. He hacks and whacks. He's going to go through a ton of sticks. So I was watching him thinking, holy cow, he can break a stick a shift. But, you know, he just keeps the game simple. At the end of the game, blocking shots, moving guys out from the front of the net. You know, he's got an edge, and he's got good size. I mean, he's a big kid that, you know, when we met him, though, I mean, obviously we would like him just to learn English a little bit. Just, you know, I can't speak Russian, so I can't say anything. But, you know, coming over, if we could just it'd be a little bit easier, like with Roman Shcherbinka, it was tough to communicate all the time. If he could just start learning a little bit, so when he comes and he'll be ready to kind of go in the drills and know what we're doing, at least have a general idea of what we're talking about. But he's a big physical guy, and I'm looking forward to seeing him up there. I mean, that's the, you know, he brings something that we don't really have. He's kind of like a Patrick Seeloff, but, you know, I think Seeloff's got a little bit more skill right now, but, you know, similar type players.
You got a new management team that's been put together over the last, I guess, year, and even you look at the last 4 or 5 months, there's been a ton of changes. How's everyone working together, and what's the new group like?
You know what? It's great. I think the one thing, all similar ages, you know, both Brads, it's just fun. It's been a breath of fresh air kind of to come in, and it was busy. I mean, Berkey had a lot of stuff going on. You know, we were running all over the place trying to get it done. So to now be kind of settled and know what everyone's going to do and and just, you know, I think the communication is that's the key for me. Brad's so good at communicating. We're always in contact. Everything that goes on, you know, when he's talking to teams, we all have a good understanding, you know, and he gives it, it's not just, you know, myself and Brad, but, you know, also the pro scouts and Todd Button. And, you know, so, I mean, I think there's a great line of communication, and that's the only way we're going to get better is we're going to have to find those diamonds in the rough when we get a chance to make a deal. You know, we got to make some smart deals.
Craig, thanks, man. I know it's summer. I appreciate you coming on short notice. Look forward to talking to you maybe closer to Lake Placid and seeing, getting a little bit from you as to just what you're seeing with those junior camps. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, for sure.
Appreciate it.
Have a good day there.
You too. Bye-bye. Craig Conroy, assistant GM of the Calgary Flames.